You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Past episodes of the Authentic Business Adventures program can be found on the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. Today, we're welcoming slash preparing to learn from Bill Quigley, which is the branch manager of AmeriFirst Home Mortgage. I should have asked you, what should I put for your title?
That's the right title.
Branch manager. That's what I saw on your website, and I just figured, like, king of the world seemed to be a little too strong. So
it's kind of generic, but that by regulation, that's what we have to call ourselves.
I knew there was going to be a regulation.
There's a lot of rules that we impose, well, that are imposed upon us for
sure.
What we do.
Sure, I get it. I imagine that's the name of the game since, I suppose, forever ago, and I imagine 2008 probably slapped you guys across the wrist a little bit.
Well, we got slapped because of what a lot of other people did.
Sure. Yeah.
So you bet there. A lot of new rules came into place, and a lot of that was for the protection of the consumer. Some of it punished the consumer inadvertently.
Sure.
But the regulators learn as we go through the process, and we try to help them help us.
Right.
And it's the industry. We keep moving forward, and everything's getting better. We're
right.
Doing well.
Right. In my classes, I'm teaching some business people the just different types of businesses, and some of them are very highly regulated. Mm. Food, for example.
Sure.
And some are not. Like, I had a printer repair company, right, which I don't think there's much regulation at all. And I said the name of the game is, if you follow the rules, usually the regulators stay out of the way. And by follow rules, I guess, I mean, the rules don't exist. They're just saying be nice. Don't poison people, right?
Don't do anything toxic.
But somebody decided they should go to the bathroom, not wash their hands, and then make some food, and all of a sudden people get sick, and, like, regulators got to come in.
You bet.
For the most part, generally speaking, I would think that regulation is a good thing.
Regulation can be a good thing. There again, in my business, it's like the pendulum swings a few different ways.
Sure.
Back in the early 2000s, it was swinging way too far in the easy way. Money
sure.
was easy. Money was chasing real estate. Everybody should have owned a home. You didn't have to have a job. You didn't have to have credit. You didn't have to add anything. You could buy a home with no money down. It was
sure.
crazy. I was on the air at that time talking about what not to do and how to keep yourself out
really?
Of trouble. Yes.
Oh.
I was on the air for about 10 years.
I knew you were on the radio. Yeah. That's why I'm like, I better be professional here. Right.
But I've been just warning everybody, watch out for this. There's too much of this going
sure.
on. And it did lead to a far bigger mess than what I thought it could have turned into.
Sure.
But then the pendulum swung the other way, where, okay, and up the other way.
Sure.
And it got extremely tight, where it was very difficult to help people with home financing just because of the rules.
Sure.
Not just in financing, but in appraisals and title work. Everything encompassing a real estate transaction got to be very challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've gone back to the middle. We're right at
sure.
I feel like we're at a real balanced spot. The media and different industries will say it's impossible to get financing, it's hard to get financing, it's difficult to buy a home. No, it isn't. You're working
sure.
with the right professionals who can guide you, educate you, and be your advisor. It can be a really fun process.
Sure.
People are complaining about this market. It's so difficult. There's no homes for sale. Yeah, there are a lot of homes for sale. You have to look
at... I see some signs, right?
Yeah, there's plenty of homes for sale. Yes, it's a much shorter inventory than what we've had historically.
Sure.
And you have to be prepared to move quickly, which is where we come in. We educate you, help you get everything taken care of in advance before you even start looking for a home. So you've got
mm-hmm.
all your financing done. So when
right.
you look for a home, it can be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're not finding exactly what you want, but we have tools to help you turn it into what you want.
So they can build or add on
you
or
can
renovate.
You buy, renovate, do all this all with one mortgage. You don't have to go through multiple steps.
Oh, super cool.
So there's a lot of different solutions that we come up with to help people achieve
sure.
their dreams in home ownership. I mean,
okay.
technically people say, oh, you write mortgages. No, I fix problems. I come up with solutions.
Sure.
I solve problems. That's
sure.
what we do in our business and in our company. And we help a lot of people who have been told, no, you can't do that. Or they feel like it's just, I'm not succeeding. I'm not getting what I want. I'm just going to give up.
Sure.
We help them rethink it,
mm-hmm.
get informed, get pre-approved, get
sure.
all their money in place, and then they become homeowners and are just jazzed where,
sure.
where life is going.
Very cool.
That's our job.
So how long have you been in this industry?
Overall in the banking industry, approximately 22 years.
Wow.
Before
okay.
that, I was a general contractor.
Were you really?
Yeah. That was
oh,
my
nice.
First career as a contractor.
It's your own business? Or?
Mm-hmm. It was a long life story. What happened? I started working for a local builder in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, where I was born and raised.
Holy cow, I grew up in Eau Claire. Nice.
Oh, did you really?
I did.
We must have crossed paths a few
probably,
times, James.
Right?
But when I went to college, I went to UW-Stout, earned a degree in construction management. And when I graduated, I packed up my car and went to visit a friend in California, ended up staying, building a career.
Wow.
Went to graduate school at USC. I got a degree in real estate and finance because while I was in the construction end of it, I've always enjoyed it. But I feel like, boy, those guys on the development, the finance end, they're, right. that's where some real cash
they're is. They're making more money and yeah. they're not getting so dirty, right?
That's right. So I went, earned my master's degree in real estate and finance from the University of Southern California, got more involved in the development and financing side, and it just transitioned into being involved in financing 100%.
Sure.
I've kind of come full circle now where I do the financing, but we do renovation financing. They're going to be helping people remodel their existing homes, getting what they really want in their home.
Right.
And not being driven by, gee, I don't have enough money to do that. I have to cut back. But sure. also helping people in this marketplace where inventory is relatively tight.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of existing homes for sale that need some
sure.
remodeling. They
sure.
need a little work. They're 40, 50, 60 years old. They need some updates.
Right.
We help people introduce them to different contractors or designers to say, you know, with this home, you can get a great deal on it because nobody else wants it. Many other lenders won't finance it. We can finance it, give you the money within the same mortgage
sure.
to buy it, renovate it, and move in.
Sure.
And so I've kind of come full circle as far as I'm involved in the construction again,
right.
helping a lot of people there and achieve what they really want in their home, even though many other people are just throwing their arms up saying, gee, it's too tough. We can't help you.
Right. It's interesting how I imagine if you watch some of the media or listen to some people that are just trying to push, I suppose, some noise to attract an audience, that they're saying you rah, rah, you can't, or you rah, rah, you can on either extreme, right?
Well, noise sells. I mean, bad news sells.
Right.
You know, I do pay attention to a lot of media because I want to know what's going on, but I also
sure.
want to help people inform people about what you're being told is wrong and
mm-hmm.
why. There's a lot of media just been saying for years that real estate is awful. Don't buy. You should not buy. It's a bad investment.
I feel like they're not making any more dirt though.
My dad told me that a long time ago. We were driving in between going to Eau Claire from Chippewa Falls.
Yeah.
And there were some commercial buildings going up. And I remember old 53.
Oh yeah.
There was really not much there, but there was some stuff going up. And I said, you know, my dad said, someday, Billy, this whole corridor
right.
is going to be full of buildings. And I said, I don't understand. He said, well, they're not making dirt anymore.
No, there's only so much space. Yeah,
I had to really ponder that as a five-year-old, but eventually
sure.
it sunk in. But there's a lot of people telling you that you can't in the media. And then they're immediate negative stuff sells. And
that's the name of the game, right?
Sure. It's all over the place in business and in politics and in social issues. But you can. There's so
right.
many people saying, I hear them all the time saying, if you're not putting 20% down on a home, you have no business buying a home.
Oh, wow.
I could not disagree more adamantly.
Really? Okay,
with that
tell
statement.
Me why.
Because if you're paying a certain amount of money today in today's marketplace, you're
right.
a young couple, you got a couple kids, maybe you got some student loans, you're paying
sure.
$1,400 a month in rent. That's
right.
not uncommon at all. $1,500
no.
a month.
No,
that's
probably cheap for this area.
Yeah, it is. And now, how are you going to save up money to put down 20% on a $275,000 house?
Right, it'll take you 5-10 years.
And by the time that 5 and 10 years go by, how much is that home appreciated and what's your down payment going to be at that time?
Sure.
You'll theoretically never get there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look at a low down payment program or a mortgage program that has zero down payment.
They still have zero down?
Yes, we do.
Wow.
But it's underwritten very aggressively and it's geared toward that first-time buyer that is having trouble saving up for the down payment. What do you do? Well, if someone's
sure.
paying $1,500 a month and they can spend the same amount of money or maybe even a little bit less owning a home,
right?
They're building equity.
Mm-hmm.
They have some tax advantages.
Mm-hmm.
Why shouldn't they own a home? In
That's
5 years, if it takes them 5 years to save up a down payment, within 5 years, they've got a lot of equity built up because that home is appreciated and they've paid down the mortgage. That helps people
sure.
get a shot at building some wealth in life
mm-hmm.
because a person that retires theoretically at the age of 65 that has been
mm-hmm.
a homeowner for the previous 20 years has 38 times more wealth than someone that has not owned
wow.
a home.
38
times more wealth. That starts with home ownership.
Interesting.
That's why there's people that I really respect as far as their financial guidance, but when they say you got to save up 20% down because you got to have skin in the game, well, then you're just cutting people off at the knees and they'll never become
sure.
a homeowner.
Sure.
They'll never create the wealth that you are trying to guide them to create.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So be cautious. I urge people, be cautious of who you're listening to in the media because they're, again, their job is to make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And they make a lot of money by being on there selling whatever they're selling.
There's pure irony in some of that, isn't there?
Yeah, and if it's not, if they're not selling, then maybe they change their tune a little bit. And I mean, what's that old song, Dirty Laundry?
Sure, from Don Henley.
That's what sells.
Right.
And be cautious what you're listening to. Get the facts. We'll walk you through what this process is as far as
sure.
what is a home mortgage? How do you get it? How much can you qualify for? Did you know there could be 10 or 15 different mortgages that you're eligible for? Let's look at all of them
sure.
and see how they work for you and how you feel about it financially, and really get an understanding of the numbers sure. and where you're going.
So you're talking about 10 or 15 different types of mortgages?
Oh, there's more than that, but just for the typical buyer, I just assume
there's a mortgage.
That's
like,
what
one
well,
option
for a lot of lenders, whatever that type of institution may be, they might just have one, two, or three. That's it.
And so what would be the difference between?
Well, every lender has their own business plan,
okay.
their own threshold for risk.
Okay.
Now, we are a direct mortgage lender. We're not a bank.
Okay.
We don't do savings account, checking accounts, debit cards, credit cards. We do mortgages,
okay.
period.
Mm-hmm.
We'll originate them, we'll underwrite them, we'll close them, we'll fund them, we service them.
Okay.
Now, most other institutions out there, it could be a banking type institution,
sure.
could be a quote unquote mortgage bank or a mortgage lender. They're going to originate it, underwrite it, close it, and then they'll sell it to somebody immediately.
Sure.
And you'll never hear from them again.
Okay.
Then you'll be your mortgage could be sold many times over. Nothing will change within the parameters of your mortgage, but it can be sold as dozens of times.
Sure.
And that frustrates people. I own my home. My mortgage just went to somebody else. Now what do I do?
So then as far as processing, who you send the payment to, that changes
That all
as well?
Changes. Sometimes things get mixed up with your escrow account for
sure.
your taxes and insurance. Sometimes there's a payment that gets lost somewhere and you end up with a late on your credit report. No one's going to help you with that.
Right.
So we keep everything. But the process for some lenders is our threshold for risk is very little. You
okay.
have to have a certain down payment, a certain credit score,
sure.
and you have to have a W-2 and a certain debt ratio. Then we'll help you with the mortgage.
Okay.
And they'll tell you. And people have told me this, that, you know, if you don't fit within that box, then you can't get a mortgage.
Sure. Oh, universally.
That's what a lot of people are told. If I look at my historical business, between 32 to 37% of the business that I close every month are people that have been turned down by other institutions.
You're talking a third. Holy cow.
A third.
Wow.
That's a lot. And
that's
I mean,
amount.
I love that. I mean, and these are people that maybe there's a little bit of a credit challenge. Maybe
sure.
there was an issue, a once in a lifetime event. There could have been a divorce, a death in the family, an illness. Something happened that was out of their control.
Yeah. When you say credit challenge, are we talking 400s? Or are we talking 500s, 600s?
We can go down to 500, but then
wow.
scores sometimes, we can do loans with no score. If people don't have any score. Now,
just because
other,
they're too young or they're new to the country or what?
No, it's just that, there again, maybe something happened in life that
okay.
drove their score down. We take a look at what happened.
Okay.
How did you fix it? Where are you now? And where are we going into the
sure.
future?
Okay.
So we'll look at all these different parameters from the individual's perspective.
Okay.
Not just, you have less than a 640 score. Sorry, you're out.
Sure.
Some people have that hard stop. Some institutions, some lenders, where it's like 640 below. Sorry, can't help you.
Okay.
Well, I've got 639. Can't help you.
Oh,
you
okay.
can't own a home. Goodbye.
Sure.
Come back when you're fixed. Now, there again, 32 to 37% of my business are people that have been turned away, where they're
sure.
told you can't own or come back when it's fixed. Well,
okay.
How about a little bit of guidance?
Sure.
They may not get that.
Okay.
We offer that guidance. There's different resources and vendors that we work with that help people. Hey, maybe your score is a little low. Let's have an expert look at your credit report and see what is wrong with it.
Okay.
And what could be done within a very short period of time to fix that.
To bump it up.
To bump it up. The
okay.
vendor we work with, within 35 to 45 days, he's gotten anywhere from 20 to 160 point increases in people.
160 point increase in a
because
month?
In a month. 35
wow.
to 45 days. Now, consider that credit reporting the agencies don't work for the consumer.
Sure.
They work for the people who sell credit.
Right.
The lower your credit score, the more money they make.
Sure.
Because creditors will target those people because if your credit score is lower, they can charge a higher interest
sure.
rate.
Sure, sure.
So the credit reporting thing, you have to work with the right professional to make sure that you're being protected because someone could have a perfect payment history,
mm-hmm.
zero balances on a lot of things, and
sure.
have a low credit score.
Okay.
Why? Why does that happen? There's different codes and symbols and things within your report that go into a scoring algorithm.
Sure.
And many of those things are wrong. And the people that we work with, they analyze it. They contact each repository directly
mm-hmm.
and legally demand that certain corrections be made within a certain period of time. And if they
okay.
don't correct it, they are legally liable to that consumer. So they respond right away. There are
sure.
things reporting. If you have something that's reporting a long time ago that maybe it was a late payment on something, that should be gone. They make it removed. In Wisconsin, if you have, everybody's got a medical collection.
Sure.
You know, all the work that the politicians are doing on healthcare, everybody's got a medical collection.
There's
one
work
time.
Being done on healthcare.
Everybody's got a medical
heard
collection.
Heard a lot of talk.
Yeah, there you go. But if you've got a medical collection and it was paid off, it should be removed from your credit
sure.
report. But they don't remove it. These people that I work with, they're local. Mm-hmm. They get things done immediately.
Sure.
Your scores go up dramatically and your profile looks better. Not only do you get a better interest rate on your mortgage, you get better homeowner's insurance rate, better car rates. Everything in your life is better with a better credit score.
Right.
Now, there are vendors that you'll see on, they'll advertise nationally that you give them a deposit of a few hundred dollars and they'll charge you $150 to $250 a month. And over a year period, they're going to work on your report. All they do is send out form letters. They don't, you know, some things will fall off because sometimes creditors just get tired of dealing with the form letters.
Sure.
And they just let it go away. But in the most part, they're not working for you on your behalf and they'll cost a lot of money in the long run.
Sure.
The people we work with work very fast. So that 32 to 37% of people that are turned down, that I receive, that are turned down by other institutions, we turn around in a month. And they're fully pre-approved for a mortgage,
wow.
and they're out in the market looking for a home. Their whole perception of what their life is going to be has changed.
Right.
They thought, I'm stuck. I'm not going to get out of it.
Right.
I'm going to be here forever. To, I'm going to be a homeowner. I'm going to build wealth. I got a great place for my family.
Sure.
Life is good.
So I imagine, do banks like you then? Because they can, if they have someone that's got their credit, checking account, savings account, stuff like that with them, and that bank doesn't fit the mold for the mortgage, they can say, hey, talk to Bill, and then that customer will still likely keep their investments and stuff like that with the bank rather than jumping from bank to bank searching for whoever's going to give them a loan.
It's a great question. Now, banks should, we should be friends with banks, and I want to be friends with banks because what we do is we partner with banks and credit unions.
Right.
We give them all of our products.
Right.
So that if something doesn't fit their menu, their customer, they can work with us in partnership to provide their customer with financing. And we work with a lot of banks. And I encourage banks, if anybody's listening, bank or credit union, we can help you retain your customers. Because that one third of my business shouldn't be coming into me like that.
It should be
staying within the institution.
Sure.
Because the first, you know, I talk to these people that get turned away and they're angry. You know, I've been with this institution for years.
Angry at the bank.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been there for years. We had loans with them and they turn me down. I don't have a reason. I'm frustrated. And the first thing I want to do is they want to go somewhere else.
Sure.
That bank doesn't want to lose that business. They need that depository business.
Right.
And I encourage these institutions, if you, I mean, I know they're busy right now. They're writing construction loans and they got their products that they write. You should really look at what we call a third party partnership with us because we can help you retain those customers and actually attract more customers.
Sure.
Because the other institutions that aren't doing it, their customers are going to leave and look for somebody else. They might as well come to you.
Right.
So the companies that were my competition are now my partners.
Interesting.
And everybody wins. The bank wins. The consumer wins.
Sure.
I win. The real estate market wins.
Right.
It's a world of abundance. We all win if we all work together and keep a positive attitude and help one another.
Sure.
And away we go.
Simple. Nothing to it, right?
Yeah.
One thing that I like that you guys do is the whole construction home purchase loan thing where you wrap it all in one, so you don't have to get a construction loan and then refinance later at whatever interest rates are to get to refinance essentially your new house
or
your rebuilt house, renovated house, whatever. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. This is what we call a renovation purchase or a renovation refinance. Now, let's say you're an existing homeowner, you want to remodel your home.
Sure.
You thought about moving or expanding because the family's growing or you just want something different, you want a different home, but maybe you can't find it in this marketplace. And we encourage people, if you like your neighborhood and you're close to work and shopping and schools, and remodel your existing home.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are watching the home renovation shows on television. They're phenomenal.
Look what you can do in 10 minutes and $5.
10 minutes and for $50, it's no problem. And what I like to watch those shows too because I do get a lot of great ideas.
Okay.
I like what they're doing. It keeps me up to date on what's going on with some of the new design trends, products and materials that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to consider it is going to take a lot longer than a couple weeks like they portray in the shows.
Mm-hmm.
It's months. So budget that time within your schedule, especially how busy everybody is in the marketplace as far as contractors, getting material, getting the labor to get the work done.
Right.
Schedule it properly and work with the right contractors and you'll be fine. But be cautious of the budget because on those renovation shows, the people that are supplying the materials and the labor, they're being advertised. They're getting free advertising.
Right.
So they're discounting their costs. So, you know, Chip and Joanne go in and they buy this house for $100,000. They put $30,000 into it. And look what we did. We got a new kitchen, a new bath. And we, well, that might be really $60,000 or $70,000 when you talk to a contractor. Now, most people, when they're going to remodel their home, they have a great idea. We're going to do this, the kitchen, the addition, the basement for the kids. They're thinking, Chip and Joanne did it for $30,000. We'll do it for $40,000. Well, it's really $70,000. What are you going to do? The first thing they want to do is cut back within the budget because where are we going to get the money? We're going to drain our savings, 401k. What are we going to borrow against?
Right.
We can't get a home equity line. So their first reaction is to cut back. And I encourage them, please don't do that. Let's look at an affordable solution to get you everything that you need in that remodel so your family can enjoy your home. Mm-hmm. And how are we going to show that you're getting your return on it by, are you getting a value out of this? Mm-hmm. What we do is a renovation program where we'll look at the proposal that your contractor gives you. It's going to have materials, labor, here's the total dollar amount. We'll give that bid to an appraiser who's going to come out, look at the home and say, here's what the home is worth now, but we're going to do all this work. When you're done, your home is going to be worth X.
All right.
We base that mortgage on the future value of the home as though it's already done.
Sure. So a kitchen remodel or something like that, or renovation, whatever they call it. So let's just say it's $50,000. So they get a house that's worth whatever now, and the appraiser is looking at, okay, when this kitchen is done, this is what the new value is. Mm-hmm. Does it often equate dollar for dollar?
In many cases, we're getting really close to the all-in budget or even beyond that. So people that are doing that right now are buying a home. Let's say, theoretically, I find a nice home it's a good, solid house, got great bones, but man, it's 60 years old and no one's done anything for 20, 30 years. And I got a good buy in it for $200,000. Sure. I'm going to put $100,000 into it with the kitchen, a bathroom, and some landscaping, and maybe some windows and a roof. So I got $300 all in. Yeah, there's people doing that where when they're done, they're worth more than that. The market right now is putting that price up there because there's so much demand.
Interesting.
There are many people, there's a good case study of some customers I helped in Middleton.
Okay.
She wanted to live in Middleton. They've been living in apartments for years. They both worked two jobs. For 22 years, they both have worked two jobs.
Seems like a long time.
Long time. But they're working their butts off. They got three daughters. They're tired of moving. But every time they move somewhere, they got a neighbor upstairs, downstairs, next door.
Sure.
They got to move. And she's like, I want a home. I don't want a side-by-side condo. I don't want a condo. I want a home. I want the white picket fence. I want the dream. Well, with their income, they only qualified for a certain dollar amount. And within that marketplace, there weren't any homes available that they qualified for. And I said to her one day, look for something that needs work. Mm-hmm. We'll do this renovation mortgage where get a great deal on the home you're going to buy.
Right.
We'll add money to it, fix it up the way you want. Then you've got exactly what you want for an affordable price.
And
we pre-approved them so we knew exactly what their maximum financing was.
Okay.
3 days later, she comes back. I found something. And she was in. She's like, I got this. And she and her agent went out. They found a home. It had been on the market for 10 months. Okay. Multiple price drops. The previous owners had owned it for 40 years. When they retired, they turned it into a duplex, but they didn't get any permits. Mm. So there were things wrong. Electrical, no permits. There were some things wrong with the home. And the price kept dropping over that 10-month period because no one would lend on it. It was under contract 5 times, but no one would provide financing because of the condition of the home.
Interesting.
Now, they needed to get out of there because they needed to be in assisted living.
Sure.
She made a great deal. They brought in a contractor, made a proposal. When the appraisal came in, the value of the home was quite a bit more than what their all-in budget was.
Nice.
So they bought the home, fixed it up, moved in. They've got exactly what they want in their home. They've already got equity, and they have payments on a low fixed rate mortgage that they can afford.
Super cool.
And she was just jazzed.
Right.
I mean, I remember a couple months after we closed, we got everything done. One Friday night, I'm at the grocery store in Middleton.
Yeah.
Because I lived there at the time.
Sure.
And I hear my name. It's like I turn around. It's like, oh, hey, how you doing? And she gives me a hug. She's like, life is great. The daughters, they all have their own room. Their friends are coming over. School is great. They can walk to school.
Sure.
There's, crossing guards at every intersection. You know, she's got her art studio.
Right.
We didn't know at the time that she was an artist, but now the contract, they had some extra space. The contractor actually came up with that idea. Let's turn this into your studio.
Sure.
Didn't charge her anything for it. He's a musician, records in the basement, didn't know that. So I learned a lot about these people, but they're following now. They have, by getting that home, not only do they have their home, they don't have to move every year. The girls are safe and secure. They're flourishing in school.
Sure.
They're following their passions, even though they're still working two jobs, raising three girls.
Sure.
And it changed their lives. She said, my kids are going to go to college now because I'm a homeowner. I know they're going to college.
Very cool.
She said, I want to buy another property. And we're talking about her buying a duplex in the future.
That's how it starts,
it's
right?
Like, outstanding. Let's go. So a lot of people in my business say, yeah, I'm a lender. I write mortgages.
Sure.
That's not what I do.
Right.
I solve problems. Mm-hmm. I help people achieve their dreams through buying a home, securing some real estate,
and really following their passion. Sure. Yeah.
We solve the problem of where are you now and how do you get to where you're going?
Sure.
Tough job, but it's one of the most rewarding jobs in the world, too.
Interesting. So you raise an interesting point, and you're a mortgage broker guy that's been around for a while. So I want to ask you, what are your thoughts on the market now and any drops that you foresee in the future?
That's a great question. And I see I really don't. Just a quick clarification: I'm not a broker. We're a direct lender. I one of those rules. I have to clarify that I'm not a broker.
Gotcha. Okay, I apologize.
We're a direct lender.
Gotcha. Direct lender. Okay.
Now the marketplace. First of all, let's look at the entire nation, but then let's look at Madison, the greater Madison area, Dane County area.
Sure. Do you hear about offers where people are offering $20,000-$40,000 over top of asking?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it's over top of appraised value.
Yeah.
That people must have to come up with that cash somehow, I imagine.
Yeah, what's been going on a lot is they're in the sweet spot for prices in this marketplace is probably $275,000. It's just steaming hot. You come in with a clean house, there's going to be, if you bring it on the market on a Saturday, there's going to be, who knows, 5, 10, 15 offers by Monday.
15?
Oh, there's a lot. The stories I hear are phenomenal, where there's multiple offers, and agents are now considering, okay, they're asking $250,000. They put the price low because they're creating this excitement and demand. So all these people show up. In a sense, yeah. So they're looking at, okay, it's at $250,000. We know the fair market value today is $275,000, but we better go at $300,000, $310,000 to make this happen.
Wow.
And you've got to, typically in a purchase contract, as a buyer, you're going to have certain contingencies. You know, I'm going to have an appraisal done to make sure the value's there. I'm going to have an inspection to make sure there's no damage or, you know, the house is going to fall down.
Right.
I'm going to have a radon inspection. All that's off the table. You can't, you're waiving that. I'm going to come in, I'm going to pay X amount of dollars, whether it's $5,000, $10,000, $30,000, $50,000 over asking. There's no appraisal, no inspection, no nothing. I'm going to close in 30 days.
That seems insane.
There again, it's really an emotionally pent up market.
Okay.
Because for years, when housing kind of stopped in 2007,
mm-hmm.
we had this window of 7 to 10 years where people were not buying.
Sure.
We had so many homes in the marketplace. And there again, that's when I was on the air saying, buy now.
Right.
Interest rates are 3%. Prices are cheap. Buy. Yeah. What are you waiting for? You're going to regret not buying.
Right.
So now it's gone the other way. The people that didn't buy, perhaps they were in school, they lost their home previously, but they're back out in the marketplace, and mm-hmm. they're willing to do anything because they just have that burning desire, I have to be in a home.
Sure.
Everybody else is in a home, I have to be in a home. I'm paying mm-hmm. $2,500 a month downtown to rent. I want a home, and I don't care if I spend more than that.
Sure.
But what's the reality? I urge caution for people doing that.
Sure.
I give them the reality of what they're doing, and hopefully the real estate professional that they're working with is doing the same thing as well.
Sure.
Someone's going to buy that home.
Right.
So it's a matter of, do you understand what you're getting into, and full disclosure.
Right.
I've met people that have done this like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, where they paid 10, 20, 30 over asking. And now they're asking me, I need a new roof. I need windows. My furnace and air conditioner are out. Where do I get the money to do this?
Oh.
I can't get a home equity line because I don't have any equity yet.
Because
the values haven't gone
sure.
up yet.
Sure.
I don't have any cash because I used it all in the house. Or I borrowed from the parents and I still haven't paid them back.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do? That's a tough spot to be in.
Sure.
There is some of that going on. Just be really aware if you really need a home that much and you're willing to pay over asking price, yeah, the market will catch up sooner or later. But who knows how long that's going to be.
Sure.
People ask also, what's going to happen with prices going forward? We're in a bubble. No, we're not in a bubble. This market's being driven by demand.
Sure.
The last housing recession started in 2005. That bubble was created by too much money chasing too little real estate.
Okay.
And too many people getting money that shouldn't have had it in the first place that never qualified for it.
Sure.
This is based on demand.
Mm-hmm.
Supply and demand. We have a very big shortage of supply.
Mm-hmm.
A big demand of people that want to purchase.
Sure.
Basic economics is prices are going to go up. And prices will probably keep going up in the greater Dane County area.
Okay.
What we're seeing in other parts of the country, let's say Milwaukee.
Sure.
I work in Milwaukee a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That market has already experienced, and it started last, I'll say, November, December.
Okay.
Same thing kind of happened here. All of a sudden, everything just kind of quieted down.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody wondered, is this the switch we're looking for?
Right? We've all been waiting.
There's going to be a transition in the marketplace.
Sure.
Is this it? Well, in the greater Dane County area, it picked right up again in New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
And it just took off again, and it's been still going steady ever since.
Sure.
In Milwaukee, the traffic kind of just slowly trickled back in after New Year's. Prices started to settle down.
Oh.
And prices are still, in different markets, prices are still dropping. 2%, 5%, 7%, 10%. Homes are on the market for 24 days. My gosh, what's going on? Sellers are panicking. And the real estate professional is just saying, just breathe. This
mm-hmm.
is a normal market.
Sure.
You know, buyers have a chance to come out, look at your home, think it through.
Mm-hmm.
We make sure they have their financing. We'll negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting back to a normal, it's not balanced yet. There's still a shortage of inventory. There's certain markets over there that people are still paying over asking price, but not like they were.
Okay.
I met a gentleman at an open house a few weeks ago that He was in the marketplace last year, and he had put in, he said, I put in offers on homes over asking price. At one home, he offered $40,000 over asking price on a $250,000 home. He's like, I don't know if I should just give up. It's like, you're in a great spot right now.
Sure.
And he asked one. I said, here's what's going on in the marketplace. You know, the home we were at, I said, do you know this home's been on the market for 38 days? He said, you're kidding. I said, do you like it? Yeah, I do. I said, you could actually take your time and negotiate. That's what's going on in this marketplace.
Sure.
And he took a sigh of relief. He's like, so I almost paid all that money, but now I can actually really think about what I want. We actually had a great conversation about buying a home that needs some work and remodeling, because there were a few of those that he was looking at too.
Sure.
Now, in the greater Dade County market, there's a, what you have going on, naturally, you got the government here. You got the university. Mm-hmm. You got all the hospitals. You got Epic and all these bigger employers. There's more employers moving in.
Mm-hmm.
There's a high supply of qualified buyers that make good money.
Sure.
They're here and they want to buy.
Sure.
There just isn't enough inventory. Builders cannot catch up. There's some builders I've spoken to, they said, yeah, I could build twice as many homes, but I'm not going to take that risk.
Right. Because
what if?
Right.
They remember 10 years ago, what if?
It's
and they made it through.
Fear mentality.
It's like, I could take a risk and do a lot more, but I'm not going to do it.
Sure.
Is sooner or later, prices will stabilize here.
Sure.
You'll reach that balancing point. More homes will come on the marketplace. People will say, you know what? I have no choice but to sell my home, even though I can't find something because people are just paying too much money for it. I'm going to take advantage of it while I can. We'll reach that balancing point.
Sure.
I don't know where that is.
Okay.
I thought we would have been here already. We'll just have to wait and see. I remember at one time we had about 16 months worth of condos available downtown. You can't find a condo downtown to save your life.
Right.
And there again, the development cycle is, it takes a long time to get new stuff built.
Mm-hmm.
To build something downtown takes years. And everything that they've built is all apartments because no one would finance condos.
Right.
When these
my goodness, the apartments are popping up left and right everywhere.
But all these things, people are saying, why don't they build condos? I said, well, this whole planning process started 5-6 years ago.
Sure.
And no one was going to finance condos 5-6 years ago or whenever it was. They would only do apartments. And the way they're zoned, you can't just switch it to condos.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Because of density issues. And so now people are trying to find land to build condos. But it's going to be a few years down the road before they get here.
Sure.
So it's an interesting market dynamic here. Sooner or later, it's going to balance out.
Sure.
And I still encourage people, you know, if you really want the home that bad and you're willing to pay that much over, it's really a personal decision. You got to look in the mirror and say, is this a smart move?
Mm-hmm.
Or should I wait another year? Or should I go find a fixer-upper and remodel it and turn it into exactly what I want versus paying for something that isn't really what I want, but I got to have a house and have buyer's remorse later?
Mm-hmm.
I encourage them, look for the fixer-upper. There's an abundant supply of homes that need work.
Right.
That with a little imagination, the right contractor and designer,
you
can have a really great home and have equity and not be upside down.
Sure.
And be happy.
Sure.
That's what I'm marketing to people. We're helping people buy affordably with that type of process.
Mm-hmm.
They're happy.
Sure.
They get done with a home and they have a party and they invite everybody over. They invite me over. They invite the contractor over and they're telling all their friends, this is the guy that got us the money and that's the guy that built it and that's the lady that designed it.
Well, that's awesome advertising.
And they're all like, what can you do for us?
Sure.
Well, same thing. So I encourage buyers. I encourage contractors, if your homeowners or your buyers are cutting back on their budget because they're having trouble figuring out how to make the numbers work, we have affordable solutions to make it work under that scenario. There's a great housing stock here. There's a phenomenal housing stock in Milwaukee that's old, but it's solid.
Sure.
And people don't want to drive way out a far way away from work and be stuck in traffic and to buy new that's, you know, a little pricey too, but they like the older architecture, the way that it was built, and what they can do with it.
Sure.
And it's really a fun process to go through, especially the younger buyers. It's their first home, and they'll walk into some classic Tudor or something, you know, that's all these little boxy rooms. They'll say, first thing I do is just blow everything open. And they do. They blow it open, new kitchen, bathroom, master bath.
Sure.
It's sweet, but yet they preserve the character of what was originally built there.
Okay.
It's really a great combination.
Sure.
And then to have them very happy in what they're creating for their family, but also to have a great financial investment at the same time.
Sure.
It's just a win-win-win for everybody.
Sure. Why are there not more houses that are being up for sale, since I feel like supply and demand, that there'd be more if you own a home and you're like, well, we're thinking about getting out. Now is a great time to get out.
There's a couple dynamics in that.
Okay.
Now, when the market really started taking off a few years ago, normally people would sell their 200 to 275 home, move up to a 300 to 450 home, and then the people in the 450 homes would move up to the higher priced homes.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the people that you thought would have sold probably went through something during the recession.
Oh, they thought, so you know, just
maybe I can't buy.
Sure.
Because I've got a credit issue. I had some late payments. Mm-hmm. I went through something. I fortunately hung on to my home.
Sure.
Some of them, the fear of the economy. It's like, I feel comfortable with here. I don't
sure.
need to move up. Mm-hmm. I'd like to. I'm tempted, but I don't need to. Some people, when they're thinking about selling, are looking for the next home.
Mm-hmm.
It's not there because the people in the next home they want to move up to, they're not moving because they're afraid to make that leap to the higher one.
Sure.
It's this reverse domino effect.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, someone would sell the 250 home and move up and then move up and everything just moves.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's buying that 250 home, but they're not. The market is picking up in other segments, but
sure.
not that as much as we would thought. And when is that person going to sell?
Mm.
They're first, maybe they couldn't because they were afraid of a financial issue. Second is they realized I may not be able to find a home.
Mm-hmm.
Where am I going to go?
Mm-hmm.
And I've looked for apartments. There's not a heck of a lot of those around either.
Sure.
And if there are any, they're very expensive. So why should I do it? I'll be paying
sure.
more to rent than staying in my home. And if mm-hmm. my home's going to keep going up, I might as well stay here
sure.
until. Right. Something happens,
right.
and everybody's waiting for something to happen.
Right.
So when does the dam break and things start to move? And
right.
that will happen. The market forces will create it. We just
sure.
don't know when.
Okay. Interesting.
So now, there again, it's happened in a lot of different parts of the country. It's happened in Milwaukee. It's happened in our offices in Michigan, Florida. I mean, we're just seeing it where prices have adjusted.
Oh, okay.
And then people are saying, prices have adjusted.
Sure.
I got to go now. Why didn't I sell last year?
Right.
Then you see a flood of homes come on the marketplace. There's
gotcha.
More inventory coming in the marketplace in Milwaukee. I talked to our guys in Florida. They're like, man, homes are just coming on the marketplace left and right. We're just jamming.
Oh, interesting.
People want to sell, then people want to jump in and
sure.
buy it. They're just cooking. So there again, Milwaukee's getting closer to being a balanced market. It's not balanced yet, but it's
sure.
getting there.
Okay.
It's getting there. Madison's just, we've always had this dynamic in Madison where it's almost been isolated from other parts of the economy when
sure.
it came to housing. You
sure.
know, I remember I lived in California for 15 years, and there were some deep recessions out there. In
okay.
California real estate, it would appreciate, just go nuts for a couple of years, and then boom, crash.
Oh,
and
interesting.
I remember coming home to visit family. It's like, come visit friends in Madison. It's like everything's just cooking along.
Right.
Like, really? It just died in California. What the heck's going on here?
We're just one big plateau.
We just operate the way we do. Because there's a great dynamic foundation of, there again, the government, the hospitals,
sure.
the economy, that just keep driving this place. Now, Madison did feel it in 2008 for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are like, man, people have been in the business for years. Never have experienced anything like this before.
Yeah.
So it is unique here. But it is going to go through sooner or later,
mm-hmm.
that adjustment.
Sure.
That if you want to be a homeowner, you can be a homeowner.
Right.
Don't let people tell you, gee, there's not enough inventory. Gee,
sure.
it's hard to get a mortgage. Or gee, you're going to be competing against 20 people.
Right.
No, you don't have to.
In the end, you only need one.
Yeah. You can.
You're looking for one house.
There are, you can tell us what you want.
Sure.
It's out there.
Right.
It may not exist right now in
sure.
the perfect form that you want, but you can turn it into what you want.
Right.
And have better than what you could have expected and better than anything you're looking at right,
right.
now.
I remember looking for a car a few years ago. I was looking for a little station wagon. I got decent gas mileage, but I was also looking for a manual transmission.
Mm.
I talked to the dealer, and he's like, you're going to have a hard time finding many of those. And I said, I'm only looking for one. Like, so the people that say, like, oh, my gosh, the market, blah, 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 blah. Like, you're looking for one house, mm-hmm. right? If you got a little bit of time, you'll find it.
Yeah.
It's all good.
There's another dynamic in the marketplace, and it's going to shift the marketplace more going in the future, and that's interest rates.
I was going to ask you about that. We have a perfect segue.
Interest rates, we've been waiting for years for interest rates to go up. They've been
yeah.
low forever. And you know
yeah.
we approached 5% last year, and people thought, well, this is it. Boy, interest rates are going up. The housing market's just going to stop. Put the brakes on it.
Right.
When it comes to interest rates, it isn't until interest rates get past 6% that you have to look at the difference, the cost of renting versus buying.
Sure.
If interest rates are 6% or below, it's more economical to own a home than it is to rent.
Sure.
Now, interest rates go a little bit higher. You have an offset in prices because
right.
of demand. It still balances out. In the long term, we track this stuff. We have data that we show people when they're purchasing a home. What's the historical data on this home as far as appreciation? We show them it. Since we started collecting data, this home has appreciated over the years.
Sure.
Even since 10 years ago, when we were in a deep recession, the home still appreciated.
Sure.
Real estate is the number one wealth builder in this country for
mm-hmm.
individuals. It's the best way for them to grow financial security and wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a year ago, rates were going up. We're in the 5% range.
On a 30-year?
On a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage, which still is a phenomenal rate. I remember years ago, I mean, my first home was 11.25% on a 3-year fixed.
I remember
that was a steal.
Okay.
That was a steal. It tells you how old I am. But, right. Interest rates were 15% at the time.
Yeah.
Where are we going in the future? Well, theoretically, people think interest rates, I mean, the economy is jamming. It's cruising.
It's doing all right.
It really is. Mm-hmm. Now, we will go through a cycle of a recession.
Sure.
Even though we're cooking along, a recession is coming. The market's already predicting
it.
There's yield curves and there's all these statistical data. Yeah. But it's real and it's coming. Mm-hmm. It isn't going to be, I don't see it being that deep of a recession.
No.
Because real estate's not going to drive this recession. Real estate will pull us out. It'll be a very shallow and short recession.
Sure.
But it's going to be there nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the biggest issues we have in the economy right now is there's no inflation. We have an enormous amount of debt in this country, which normally would put pressure on inflation.
Mm-hmm.
Prices would go up.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have inflation going on right now.
Right.
The Federal Reserve, their concern is, we have this growth.
Okay.
We have this debt, but we don't have inflation. Other countries are slowing down.
Sure.
Now, other countries have gotten into deflationary cycles. You
don't
want to go into that's historically where institutions were... if you want to buy some investments within a country, you'd have to pay them to buy an investment because their money just wasn't worth anything. Their currency wasn't worth anything. Now, our interest rates got really low historically a few years ago, phenomenally low. We thought, we'll never see this again.
Right.
We're looking at that a little bit differently now based on where we're going.
Oh, really?
We could see, in the next 9 to 12 months entering into that recession. Rates are already falling.
Sure.
Right now, we're back at a 4% or a little bit less on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage.
Wow.
And their
so
pressure.
So they only have 5 for 3 months or something like that?
It was, they're hanging up 5, 4, 7, 5, bouncing up and down. And just a few months ago, we've been trending down.
Okay.
There again, there's no inflation out there.
It's, sure.
The Federal Reserve, when they increased the discount rate a few years ago, people were saying, man, that's a lot in a hurry. Do
sure.
we really need that? Well, the Federal Reserve needs rates to go up because when that recession comes, they need to have room to lower interest rates to stimulate the economy.
Right.
They don't have a lot of room to lower.
No.
So, but their concern is now we are heading into a deflationary, we're not deflationary, they're not saying that word, but it's like there just isn't any price increases.
Sure.
We're having wage increases, real estate
increases.
Which is great for the consumer. They're buying, but you don't want to be in a deflationary state when it comes to prices. You need inflation to keep those wages going up and keep them stabilized.
Right.
And they're worried that, we don't want to go there. And that's what they see in the future. So they will more than likely start lowering rates. They could do it as early as next month by a quarter. Or September, they'll start again.
Sure.
And that's going to start a cycle of them lowering again and possibly going down lower than where we were a few years ago. You could I'll jump out there on the ledge. After a year from now, maybe a little bit farther down the road, you'll see rates lower than where they were previously.
You're talking lower than
3%? I'm talking 3% 30-year fixed rate mortgage.
Holy cow.
Because there just isn't that pressure on prices going up.
Sure.
So the Fed's going to push their monetary policy will be to lighten.
Mm-hmm.
Investors are going to buy. Now, when the Fed makes their move on interest rates, that does not impact a 30-year fixed rate mortgage directly.
Sure.
It may indirectly, because people think, the Fed increased the rate a quarter or half. There goes my mortgage rate. No.
Right.
Typically, when the Fed increases the discount rate, mortgage rates drop.
Oh, interesting.
Because investors buy mortgage-backed securities as a security instrument.
Okay.
And they say, okay, the Fed made that move. We're not going to put a curb on inflation. That bond or that mortgage-backed security is a good investment.
Sure.
When you buy that investment, the price of the investment goes up, which reduces the return, which reduces your interest rate.
Sure.
So the Federal Reserve is going to start discounting rates, but the markets are a little bit ahead of that. They
all
know
right.
that's why rates are going down. The bond market's already ahead of it. The mortgage-backed security market's already ahead of it. They know rates are going down.
Sure.
And they know they're going to go further. So when the Fed makes that move of a quarter, boom, rates will follow quickly.
Sure.
And we will see a point a year from now where rates are phenomenally low, which is going to keep driving the real estate market.
Yeah.
Any recession, you're going to have some job losses possibly.
Sure.
But there's so much demand for labor out there.
Yeah, there's a point right now where we almost would welcome that, because right now when you're talking about prices are staying relatively the same, but wage is insane. It's getting crazy high. Crazy, crazy, crazy high. I say that from a person that has employees. Like, we had to raise our starting rate 30% just to compete, which is insane.
Yeah, I talk to people who are complaining. They're again, politically, the media, it's like, oh, it's just a terrible economy. the average person just isn't doing well. It's like, well, that terrible, that person that isn't doing well is, that person that isn't doing well is listening to you and not going, all you gotta do is go across the street. And you, I know people that are complaining about their wages, about buying a house. It's like, have you looked for a different job?
Right.
And I have customers that have gotten that 20, 30, 35% raise just by looking.
Sure.
And then they went out and bought a home.
Don't tell my employees that. Right? No, I'm
sorry,
no,
they're already listening.
But it is so tough to keep people or even find people right now.
But that'll change as well. I mean, that might adjust a little bit during the recessions come up. We'll have to wait and see how deep this recession goes. Or if it's just shallow and we kind of cruise through it, interest rates go down. But so there's going to be this wave again of refinancing down the road.
Sure.
People getting, they're getting more affordable financing. People have more disposable cash into the marketplace.
Sure.
So we'll come right back out of that recession and where we go. But then again, inflation's key. We have an enormous amount of debt in this country that nobody's talking about or dealing with. That could come back to haunt us someday.
We seem to have a lot of problems that no one's talking about or
dealing with. Yeah, that's true. Just put the blinders on.
You mentioned the healthcare one. I was like, come on.
Don't get me started.
Sure,
I've been through a lot with that.
Fair.
So it's, the real estate market's interesting. And what's going to be happening into the future? It's, if you want to own a home, you can own a home. You can have exactly what you want in a home.
Sure.
And it can be affordable. You don't have to, if you're looking at what 50 other people are looking at, wasn't Warren Buffett that said, you know, 50 investors go one direction, I go the other way.
Sure.
Do the same thing in real estate.
Right.
You know, if 50 people are looking at that home that's coming up this weekend,
it's a lot
because
of competition.
It's price, it's a lot of competition, you're going to overpay for it.
Sure.
I can introduce you to some people that will show you what no one else is looking at and the right creative mind that will say, I can do a few things with this home.
Sure.
With this contractor, and
right.
you're going to have this dynamite place at an affordable price with a low fixed rate mortgage, and you're going to love it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to create wealth with this versus calling me in 2 years and saying, you know, I need some stuff for my house, but I don't have any equity and I don't have any cash.
Sure.
What do I do? Or rates do
wait
fall
for
down.
More.
Rates do fall to 3%. It's like, I want to refinance, but you know, I'm sorry, you don't have any equity. We can't help you.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That could happen too. There's
a
lot of people that I remember back of the when prices were in flux at the early recession. They're like, I need to refinance. Like, you're upside down. You know, you just can't. There's the money that was chasing real estate, people were paying too much for it.
Right.
They're paying a lot now. It's not because there's too much money chasing it. It's just the emotional demand is causing them to do something.
That's fair.
And ask yourself about buyer's remorse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're writing that offer today at 30 grand over, how are you going to feel about that tomorrow?
Right.
Really try to think it through. There's other ways to do this.
Sure.
I tell a lot of my real estate agent friends, there's a whole market of homes available to list. If you want listings, I know where they are. And we can list them and we can market them together and sell them with a renovation financing.
Sure.
And you can have a whole nother line of business that's there that no one's tapping.
Right.
And it's a little bit, it's a bit of a shift in your paradigm, but it's there and you can really grow your business with it.
Right.
And the people there again that do this, they'll have a party when they're done because they want to show off what they did.
Right.
And you're going to get more referrals and it just starts to compound.
Very cool.
So anybody that's in the real estate world, if you want some listings, we've got a great way to get some.
Bill is the man.
And it's not like their fear is, hey, I don't want to be showing a home to 20 different contractors.
Right.
Which you're not. You open it once or twice to one general contractor.
I don't know
that's
if you can
it.
Get a hold of 20 different contractors.
That's a good point. That's why you work with one general.
Right.
There's a lot of people we work with in Nary Group that are just phenomenal at what they do.
Sure.
And they understand this type of financing that we provide. They work really well with our construction draw department. They get paid fast, which helps the project keep moving.
Right.
And everybody wins.
Right. That's awesome. So we don't have a ton of time left here, but you've been in business for a while, so I imagine you have some things that you've learned. What are a few of the things that you learned, perhaps the hardest way or easy way?
Well, what we've learned and what we try to pass on to the consumers there, again, if you want to buy a home, get your money now. First thing you do is get your money. Go ahead and look online. Get an idea of what you want.
What do you mean get your money? Like get a loan?
Get your financing in place right
now.
We underwrite everybody in advance. Someone calls me today, it's like, I'm thinking about buying a home. It's like, let's get your loan application. I want these documents. I want your income, your assets, your driver's license. We're going to fully underwrite you today.
Okay.
We get you fully underwritten. We get past anything that comes up with financing.
Sure.
Because there are still transactions where, and it astounds me, where a lender writes a letter stating that I've reviewed this person's information and they're pre-approved to buy a house. And 3 weeks later, something pops up where, we have a problem and this deal is going to blow up. Why didn't they know about that? They didn't do their job. There's so many pre-approval letters out there that are really, they're not a pre-approval.
Okay.
They're a guess. Yeah, go buy a house.
Sure.
You know, if you're lucky enough to have your bid accepted, we hope we can get the financing for you.
Okay.
We take that all out of the equation in advance.
Sure.
They're fully underwritten. We know everything about this customer. Now, the other things that'll pop up, what if something happens in the appraisal?
Mm-hmm.
What if there's something in the home inspection?
Sure.
What if there's something on title? Because sometimes there could be something in your name on a public record somewhere that doesn't show up on a credit report. those things can be easily overcome.
Sure.
But everything else on the mortgage financing is done. Mm-hmm. We can close in 10 days if you want to buy a house.
10 days?
10 days.
Wow.
So the things that I've learned is just get all your ducks in a row. Get your financing today. Let me inform you of all the different mortgage programs that are available to you and how they work. And I will just give me an hour and I'll walk you through this and you'll have an understanding of what a mortgage is, how it's going to work for you, where you need to, you know, you need to look at this next year and in 5 years and 10 years.
Sure.
Because there's different factors involved. There could be mortgage insurance. There could be other issues involved that we need to address down the road as well that you need to be prepared for.
Mm-hmm.
So and when you are informed, when you are knowledgeable, you got power. You know what you're doing. You know where you're going to go with that home. You can look at the home and say, I'm going to buy that for $175 and put $175 into it. I'm going to have this much when I'm done.
Right.
Because the appraisal said so, and I've already got my money. Boom. I got a new house. I won.
Right.
And you can put yourself in the driver's seat, but instead of just being out there and hoping everything works okay, don't hope.
Right.
Because this is one of the biggest investments you'll make in your life. Be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Get your financing in advance. Work with the right real estate professional who's going to guide you and educate you and find exactly what you're looking for. And you can be a really happy homeowner and have a great life in the home you purchase.
You know, that's such an interesting point because I was just talking with someone else about retirement and investing and stuff like that. And I feel like there's this general consensus that people are just like, oh, I throw money in my 401k or something like that. And it's just taken care of. I assume it'll grow and hopefully I can retire. That they're spending all this time, energy, and effort onto their hourly job or their job where they're making, you know, what their tiny little nut for their job, but these decisions for home ownership and loans and stuff like that, investments in real estate or retirement, that can mean decades or years of work if you just make a couple good decisions, educated decisions, where that stuff they're just kind of ignoring and saying, like, oh, it's too complicated. I don't want to learn about it.
That's,
if you know how much of your life you're giving up for your financial well-being, you're giving up by just being kind of laissez-faire about that.
There's a financial planner I met once who said, people spend more time planning a vacation than they do planning their retirement.
Yeah.
And he said the same thing. He's like, I just want to sit with you for an hour.
Right.
I'll show you how this works. Mm-hmm. I'll guide you. It's not that hard. Part of it's just denial. It's like, I'm not going to look at that right now because it's bad news and I'm just going to ignore it and go buy something to make myself feel
better. All you're going to tell me is I'm not rich.
But if you do a little planning, face the truth, within an hour, you're going to know exactly where you're going, how you're going to get there, and you will get there.
Sure.
And you will win.
That's awesome. Where can people find you, Bill?
I'm in Fitchburg and in Brookfield. In Fitchburg, you can call me 608-831-4663, right off the Beltline by Zimbrick. You can go to my website, madtownmortgage.com.
Madtownmortgage.com. That's awesome. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. If we happen to save you a little bit of money with your mortgage, all the better too, right?
Definitely.
Coming to you from Sun Prairie Community Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kademan, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering and receptionist services for small businesses across the country on the web at callsoncall.com, as well as Draw In Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs in all stages of their business on the web at drawincustomers.com. And of course, The Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur in all of us, available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Bill Quigley, branch manager at AmeriFirst Home Mortgage in Madison. Bill, what's that website one more time?
MadtownMortgage.com.
Madtown. And then how about a phone number just for the people that actually pick up the phone?
608-831-4663. And if I'm not there, to forward us to my cell phone, you can catch me anytime.
Nice. Bill will always be there. That's what I love to hear.
My calls are always answered, James.
You're a smart man. Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 1 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as at sunpraymediacenter.com. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link, found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.